wrapping up the Pilot Training Reform Symposium with SAFE's Doug Stewart. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. I'm here to continue my conversation with Doug Stewart, who is the chairman of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. And we started yesterday into a conversation about the output of the Pilot Training Reform Symposium held last week in Atlanta. And we talked about a number of issues that came up and Doug's take on them. And Doug, thanks for agreeing to come back today. And I wanted to talk about a couple of others. First of all, have you had some rest yet? I assume you had to get right back into the cockpit and go back to work when you got home.
Well, to be honest, for several months here, pretty much my entire life has been working towards getting this symposium going, and that is all pro bono. And I've got a lot of bills to pay. And very fortuitously, the weather has cooperated, and I've got a very full schedule. So the day after I was back, I was out in the cockpit with clients, and I've been flying flat out ever since. So it's been a pretty busy time.
All right. Well, good for you. It's good to have our best instructors back in the air. let's talk about a couple of the things we didn't get to yesterday, and I wanted to start with the relationship between the flight instruction and general aviation communities and the insurance industry. And it's always been my belief that if we were ever going to have a non-regulatory based improvement in the way flight instruction is conducted and the way general aviators fly, it was going to have to kind of follow a model like we have in the automotive field, where the insurance industry kind of takes a lead role, you know, or at least their underwriters have an organization which determines what the real risk factors are in driving. And then for each of those risk factors that reduce the odds of their having to pay out, you get a discount on your premium. And that somehow hasn't ever come to pass in general aviation. And one of the recommendations I saw come out of your symposium was gather additional detailed accident data from insurance companies. Are they gathering this data? And if so, why aren't we seeing a structure kind of like we see in car driving?
Well, there is one insurance company that I feel is doing that, to be very honest. And certainly, the argument has gone on for years and years and years that the people who need this information are the most are the people who are least likely to get it. So often in safety seminars and whatnot, we're preaching to the choir. However, the insurance industry certainly has a wonderful motivational carrot, so to speak, by promoting the importance of recurrent training, as an example. You know, so many pilots, after they get their training for their private pilot, that's about it. And yes, they might do a flight review, but face it, let's be honest, a lot of them are pencil whip flight reviews. There are instructors who will be happy to conduct a flight review in exchange for a free lunch. We need insurance companies to create that motivation through the process of reduced premiums and things of that nature. And, we had five different insurance companies, representatives from five different insurance companies at our symposium. I know one of those insurance companies does participate in a program similar to this. I think the others are going to start to see that, and that is certainly an area that we're going to have to push them to help us with this, to help this happen.
All right, staying on the safety topic for a moment, developing doctrine to build a safety culture with students, how does that not happen now? Are we so focused on getting folks through in as close to the minimum hours that are promoted as what it takes to get a certificate that we focus exclusively on the practical test standards and not enough on the attitudes and cultures and human factors?
Absolutely. And this is another major area that was discussed at length, that was addressed during the symposium. As an example, we certainly know that the rule of primacy is a rule that cannot be argued with. The things that we learn first are the things that stick. But if we can start teaching the new instructors, and maybe even the old ones, it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks. Ask me how I know. But if we start teaching at least the new instructors that, here's a way that's going to help you make money. If you introduce your student pilots to things like the WINGS program right at the very get-go. You know, if there's going to be a WINGS program seminar in your neck of the woods next week, invite all your student pilots. Say, hey, let's, you know, we'll go down to the pizza place and we'll have a couple of pizzas, and then we'll go to the safety seminar. This is things they're learning right at the very get-go. And so we change that culture. This is what we have to do. We change that culture so that new student pilots are starting to see, hey, this safety thing is an important part of what we're doing. And it becomes a habitual thing for them because they're learning it from the very get-go, that rule of primacy.
Let me move on to making risk management a specific instructional area. Would this kind of take the form that currently exists for the human factors, hazardous attitudes, or is it beyond that?
I think it goes. It does go way beyond that. You know, we can certainly talk about the hazardous attitudes and things like that. And in some ways, FITS, which is the FAA Industry Training Standards Program, didn't really become the success that everyone had hoped it might be. And I'm not going to go into the reasons for that. But certainly one of the recommendations that came out of this was to simplify and overhaul the FAA's FITS program. Scenario-based training, if it is brought into the syllabus or the curriculum of a student pilot's training from the very first lesson forward, this risk management will become part of their flying mentality from that very first lesson. Now, there is a group right now that is really doing that, and I give them just enormous credit, and that is a coalition of the Cessna Pilot Centers, King Schools, and Redbird Flight Simulators. They have created a curriculum that is teaching risk management from the very first lesson. It's an incredible program, and student pilots will learn this, and it will become a part of their flying life. The problem that we have is that there is resistance from instructors to use this incredible program that is right there ready for them to use. And I know I might sound like I'm advertising for them. The fact of the matter, here is the model, and we can all use it.
Can we all use it if we can't afford a Redbird simulator in our Part 61 flight school?
We might not be able to afford the Redbird simulator, but we can certainly afford, and I'll let me rephrase it, we can't afford not to use the mentality, even if we don't necessarily have the simulator, but use the mentality, use the framework of the syllabus, and how risk management can be incorporated into the flight training syllabus from the very get-go. You know, it's wonderful. Hey, I wish I had a Redbird flight simulator. I don't. And if I did, I don't know how I'd put it in my 8x20 trailer because I just don't have the room. That being said, and I don't do, you know, for the most part, I personally don't do primary training. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. That would be wonderful in a perfect world. We could all have this equipment and have that syllabus, but we don't necessarily need the equipment to adopt the mentality.
More with Doug Stewart of SAFE in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with SAFE Chairman Doug Stewart about last week's Pilot Training Reform Symposium in Atlanta. Doug, you mentioned earlier the idea of recurrency and how loose the current requirement is for a flight review. I know the FAA has encouraged us not to call it a biennial flight review, I guess in the hopes that if we leave off that first word, we'll somehow just drift into the habit of getting one annually. I'm not sure that works. But there's a kind of a parallel issue involved with FERCs and the CFI renewal process. What needs to happen there? And is there kind of a consensus that we may need to let some of the CFIs who just kind of have the instructor certificate so they can hang it on the wall for 50 years, let them kind of drift away from eligibility to instruct if they don't get more serious about it? That seemed to be a theme.
It was a theme, and it was a recurrent theme in virtually every breakout group, even if that breakout group didn't necessarily have that as its specific topic. But the theme ran through virtually every breakout group. I think there is consensus that we do have a major problem in the way flight instructors are renewed. There is very much a consensus that the current process of the FERC is not necessarily the way to go. I will say there were very heated debates about this topic, and I'm not sure that consensus was really reached on what is absolutely the best way to move forward. But I think we can certainly conclude that there is a problem here, and it is a problem that we're going to have to work on. And I did see, even though there wasn't consensus, a commitment to work through this problem because it is a major problem. There's one thing about recurrency for pilots, but there's a whole other issue about recurrency for flight instructors. And I personally feel that the, you know, should, and there are people who will argue with me and very, very effectively argue against me about the airline pilot who keeps his flight instructor certificate current by going to FERCs, even though they haven't taught in years and years and years and might never teach. But they certainly, every flight instructor needs to understand the change in paradigm, this shift in paradigm that this symposium is going to create, and they're going to have to get on board with it if they want to see general aviation survive, and if they want to see the safety statistics improve.
Well, what you're talking about is flight instruction being a profession and not a sideline. And if someone has spent a 20-year career in the airlines without touching rudder pedals or really having to think about the scenarios that are going to exist in general aviation, maybe they need to recertify in some way.
I would agree with that. There was also a theme that ran through many of the discussions having to do with the fact that there are many flight instructors who renew via the FERC who never have their teaching skills evaluated in the cockpit. And as one person, in fact, one person in my breakout group, and she happened to be a National Instructor of the Year, said she could get a FERC done in a very short time just by sitting there, click, 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 get her test done and be done with it. But that doesn't prove that she's really qualified to teach. There pretty much was consensus that a flight instructor needs to have some kind of in-flight evaluation, not necessarily of their flying skills, but of their teaching skills in the cockpit. Not to say that a FERC is not important as far as reviewing new stuff, as far as, for example, making many instructors aware of the fact that there's going to be more and more emphasis on scenario-based training, and not only scenario-based training, but I might add scenario-based testing. Because, again, AFS was 600 was there in force, manager and deputy manager. They were paying attention to this. And this was a topic that was brought up, that scenario-based scenarios have to be not only in the training curriculum, but in the testing paradigm as well.
Well, Doug, we've come to the end of our allotted time, and we didn't obviously touch on a lot of things here. I noticed that the full output reports of the symposium were not yet on the website. When is that likely to happen if our listeners want to go and read more?
Well, the full output will probably be, although we set for ourselves in a post-symposium meeting that we held Friday morning, by the end of May, but I rather suspect that they'll probably be up there within a couple of weeks. Right now, if someone wanted to go to the symposium website, and it's www.pilottrainingreform.org, and then /symposium-output/. They actually can find all the PowerPoint slides of all the presentations that were given. They'll be able to see all of those. Now, some of those might not make much sense without a speaker speaking with them. Some of them are highly bullet point centric. Others are not. But every one of those PowerPoint slide presentations is available on our website. All of the recommendations are available on the website. The breakout group instructions that were given to the breakout groups prior to their meeting are all available on the website right now. Again, it is www.pilottrainingreform.org/symposium-output.
There's a symposium output tab showing on the website at pilottrainingreform.org. That'll get you there as well. So if it's too much to write down, we'll save you. Well,
yeah,
Doug, we really appreciate your filling us in on how things went. Congratulations on what sounds like, from all points, has been a great event and a significant event in our aviation culture. And we will follow with great interest how it goes from here.
Well, thank you much, Paul. I will add to the very close of this. This is only the beginning. And our real work is in front of us now, and we're intent on getting it done.
Doug Stewart is the chairman of SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. Learn more at safepilots.org. The separate website for the symposium can be found at pilottrainingreform.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.